parable of the two sons. And you know the story of how the father had two sons, and the younger one wanted all of his stuff now. Amen. We want it all now. Give me patience, and I want it now. Amen. And the whole story, the way it's been told, mostly focuses on the younger son. But I wanted in this lesson to turn it around and see something about the older son's situation. And my focus verse is from Luke chapter 15 and verse 31. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. That may not seem like much, but when we go through this lesson, we'll see how important it is. So let's look at this story. It starts out with Jesus telling, as usual, a story, a parable. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And you notice that I've highlighted that word divided. Now, you know, when you're a teenager, you want the car right away. As soon as you get your license, in fact, some before they get their license, they want the car. And the younger son just wanted to be get his inheritance right away. He was anxious to get going and to have what was his. And I want you to really notice verse 12. And it says, the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Amen. Now, that word in the Greek, because this is from the New Testament, is diario, and it means to divide into parts, to part, to tear, to cleave, to distribute. Now, what's interesting about this story is in those days, it doesn't seem that that was the right way to go. Today, of course, usually when inheritance is given, it is equally divided amongst the children. But in those days, that was not the custom. And there were two things that a father could give. He could give the blessing and the birthright. And as I said, this is really a Father's Day study, but since I'm not going to be teaching on Father's Day, I thought I would teach it today. There were two things a father could give, the blessing and the birthright. And we're going to look at what the difference between the two things are. Now, in the Old Testament, God had laid out, or Moses through the law had laid out the laws of inheritance. And if we go to Deuteronomy 21:15, it says, if a man has two wives, one loved and the other unloved, and they have borne him children, both the loved and the unloved, and if the first son is of her who is unloved, then it shall be on the day he bequeaths his possessions to his sons that he must not bestow firstborn status on the son of the loved wife. What it was saying is he had to do it by the law. Even if he didn't like one of the sons or one of the wives, that was not an excuse for giving one differently. He had to do it as prescribed by the law. So he could not bestow, according to the law, firstborn status on the son of the loved wife in preference to the son of the unloved, the true firstborn. Now, I want you to focus on that. Under the law, that was the case, that the firstborn son, even if he was of a wife that you weren't as fond of, just because of his order of birth, he still had to get the firstborn's portion. But he shall acknowledge the son of the unloved wife as the firstborn by giving him a double portion. Do you notice that? A double portion. So now you begin to understand that when Elisha was following Elijah and he said, I want a double portion, he was asking for the firstborn's right. He was asking to be acknowledged as the heir apparent. So in the Old Testament, if a family had two sons, the inheritance was actually divided into three parts. And the oldest son was to get 2/3, and the youngest son was to get 1/3. That's how it was supposed to work, according to the law. Sister Mary, you have a question.
So, according to the law, with Esau and Jacob, I think, was it Esau or was it Isaac and the one with the two wives, that I think it was Rachel and her sister,
Leah,
that was not really favored?
Right.
So, did that happen to their sons?
Well, let's see. Let's see. Okay. Amen. But you're right. When you look at the laws of inheritance under the law, the oldest son was to get the double portion. I'll answer your question now anyway. Okay. Right. So who was the oldest son of Jacob? Of Jacob. She asked about Jacob and Isaac, right? That's who you ask of, Rachel and Leah. So who was the oldest son? Come on, you Bible students. Who was the oldest son of Isaac? And okay, now you're getting me mixed up. Jacob. Who was the oldest son of Jacob? How many sons did Jacob have? 12. So who was the oldest son of Jacob? Reuben. Reuben. Why did not Reuben get the birthright? Because he messed up. He slept with one of Jacob's women. And the other two sons who were next in line also messed up. They went and killed the people who they were living with in revenge for their sister. So who was the fourth person? Jacob. Who did Jacob bless and say that the lawgiver shall not depart?
Judah.
So we see that Judah inherited the blessing. The blessing. Remember I said there's two things. But Judah did not inherit initially the birthright. Because the birthright was what? A double portion. So who got the double portion? We're way off topic here. Who got the double portion? Joseph did. How did Joseph get a double portion? Because he had two sons. And when he brought his two sons to Jacob, Jacob adopted them. That's why you don't hear too much about the tribe of Joseph. You hear about the tribe of Manasseh and Ephraim. So Joseph's sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, were counted as if they were Jacob's sons. So the tribe of Joseph ended up with two more portions. Do you follow that? Because they had Manasseh and Ephraim. So way off topic, but you understand how this works. So this was even before the law, actually. You see that. So Jacob blessed and adopted his grandchildren as if they were his sons. So that's how we end up with 13 tribes. And so the tribe of Joseph actually ended up with two portions. So that's how that got split. Now, Judah did get the blessing. And so that's how that happened. But under the law, by giving a double portion, that was to acknowledge the firstborn. So here's the point. Every son, though, was to get a portion. Let me give you what the birthright was. The birthright is about things, material things. Cattle, houses, land, sheep, worldly goods. In other words, money. That's what the birthright, and that's what Jacob tried to get, wasn't it? Hey, I'll give you some of my pottage if you will give me some of, give me your birthright. That's what he tried to get. In the end, did he get that? No, he ended up with nothing of the birthright. Instead, what did he get? The blessing. And so now you see which is actually the more important. He actually left Isaac with nothing. He got nothing. Everything that he ended up with materially, he did not get from Isaac. Even though supposedly he had stolen the birthright, but what he really got was the blessing. I'm way off topic. Let's go. So the birthright, so every son got a portion by right, just because they were born into the family. But the firstborn was to receive and get a double portion. Okay? So now let's look at that. You went way ahead into my lesson. Genesis 48:5. And now thy two sons, when Jacob was dying, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. Jacob took Joseph's sons and literally adopted them as his. Are mine, as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And that's why Israel ended up with 13 tribes, because the tribe of Joseph is almost never named as the tribe of Joseph. It's always split into Manasseh and Ephraim, because Jacob adopted them. And so in the end, Joseph symbolically got a double portion, because his two sons inherited a 13th share. So Joseph ended up with two shares. You following me? So he got the birthright, the material things, but actually Judah ended up with the blessing. Now, what is the blessing about? The blessing is about God's favor. It's God's abiding presence, God's lifelong guidance, and future inheritance. So which is better, the birthright or the blessing? The blessing. The blessing is the better. Then he blessed Joseph and said, may the God before whom thy fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd my all my life to this day. He was explaining the difference between being just getting material things and having God with you all the time. You can have nothing materially, but if you have God, if you have the Spirit of God with you, that's all you need. As I said, Jacob tried to get the birthright. That was his whole deal. But in the end, he left home with nothing material, but he got the most important thing, the blessing from the Father. And you know how God set up that symbol, that he only obtained the blessing by being covered. There was a sacrifice. A lamb was killed, and it was through the covering, not through his own ability, so to speak. He received the blessing, and he left with nothing. He left with nothing but the blessing. And that just goes to show you how important it is to get the blessing and not so much the birthright. So the difference between the blessing and the birthright is the Father's presence. The Father's presence. Genesis 25:6. But unto the sons of the concubines, when Abraham, before he died and he knew he was going to die, he made sure that all of his sons, because he had many sons, not just Isaac and Ishmael, but he had other children by his concubines. But unto the sons of the concubines, which Abram had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived, eastward into the east country. So he almost did like the parable. He gave some of his inheritance before he died, just as in the parable Jesus was telling. And he sent them away. Didn't the young man then leave the father's house? I want to show you a parallel here. But Isaac stayed and always had whose blessing? The father. The sons who were not of the free woman, so to speak, they did get material blessing, but what they lacked was the father's presence. That's why it's so important. There's a song that you can gain the whole world, but give me Jesus, right? It doesn't matter how much material blessing, if you don't have God's presence with you, it's not going to last. It's going to one day go away. There have been many cases where people have won the lotto and end up poorer than they were before. It's amazing how that would work. But without the Father's blessing, material stuff don't mean a whole pile. Amen. So we see right here that in Genesis, Abraham did what Jesus was telling in the parable. The father gave to all of his other sons and sent them away while he yet lived eastward in the country. So now the birthright is a right, that's what it's called, by law, right? That's what we read in Deuteronomy. It's part of the law. But the blessing is by grace. The blessing is by grace. John 1:13 explains it. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That applies to us. It's not because of our will. Does anyone choose who they're born to? No. You don't get to choose which family you're born into. Right? So it's not the will of the flesh. So the blessing is by grace. The birthright was by law. Paul in Romans 9:10 speaks about it. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good nor evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. If you were going to judge by the nature of them, you would say that Jacob deserved least. Now, this scripture is not even speaking so much of their personages, but it's speaking of the nations that should come from them. That the nation that God was going to choose was through Isaac. That's why his name was changed and his character was changed after he had an encounter with the angel of the Lord. Esau, his nation turned into the Edomites and eventually to the Amalekites. And we're always in opposition because his nature was always carnal. He was always wanting to fight. So we see that the birthright was by the law, but the blessing is unmerited, God's gift. John 1:13, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but God's favor, God's mercy, God's grace. Amen. So now let's look at this. Let's go back to the New Testament, and let's look at the story about the elder son. Luke 15:25. Now his elder son was in the field, so the younger son has gone away, taken half, remember what the story said, divided, which sounds as if it's wrong, because remember now, according to the law, it should have been a third, right? So why does the story say he gave him half? Let's see. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Somebody's having a party. What's going on? I've been slaving away at that church all my life, and pastor has never given me any recognition, never called my name, never had me sing a song, never had me do a devotion. You know, it doesn't matter what I say or do. It matters what he says. Amen. The eldest son came in and he saw that there was a party going on. And he immediately got mad as soon as he found out who it was. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things mean. And he said unto him, thy brother is come home, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And immediately he got angry. And you can understand why. This brother took half of the father's birthright by birthright and went and wasted it. And as soon as he comes home, father throws him a party. And yet, when I wanted to just take a little lamb to go have a, he wouldn't let me. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. So, at first, this story looks grossly unfair because we see that it says that the father divided his worldly goods and he gave half to the younger son, which according to the law wasn't right. Younger son should have only gotten a third. So let's see, what did the elder son get then?
Does grace mean unmerited?
Yes, what did I say? That's what I meant, unmerited favor. So what did the elder son get? The father is trying to tell him something that he doesn't really realize that he has, that he's not realized. Many times we go through life and we look at what other people are, success they're having, and we feel so alone and like, God, it doesn't seem fair. I've been serving you all my life. I've come to church. And David said, you know, his foot near slipped when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. Many of us are like the elder son, and we don't understand. How come this guy just got in church and look at what God is doing for them, and it just seems unfair? But the father was trying to tell the eldest son something important. And he said to him, the youngest son, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid." He never even gave me a little one of your little goats to go and have a party, that I might make merry with my friends. You know, life can seem unfair. It seems that you've been serving God, and everyone else seems to be doing better. Everyone else has got the new job, the new car, the new house, and yet you've been coming to church faithfully and supporting the church, and it seems as if the material blessing and all the other blessings are passing you by, and everyone else has got a great testimony, and it just seems that everyone else is having the party. And it can make you sometimes think, "God, you're not fair. What's wrong?" The father had to come out and tell the young man some important things. There was something that the young man had that was invaluable. That was invaluable. The younger son had taken half of the birthright. He had taken his share. But what happened to it when he was gone, when he had left the father's house? It didn't take long for it to just come out to nothing. What was it that made all his money come out to nothing? What was it that made the difference that as soon as he left the house, his funds seemed to start to just go, Sister Mary?
Perhaps now, he didn't have the father present with him.
That's it, exactly. He had the money, he had the wealth, but he didn't have the father there to tell him what to do or how to instruct him. The blessing that the elder son had was he always had the father's presence. Now you may think that's not much. You may think that's not, but you know what? If God was to show you all of the things that he has delivered you from, amen, all the ways he has seen you through, all the things that you could have slipped into, all of the things, crises that you could have gone through. The father had to come out and said, "Listen." And he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me." Just those five words speaks volumes. What he was telling the eldest son, "You have me with you." Do you understand in the Old Testament, Abraham gave away his wealth to his, but then he sent them away. But Isaac stayed in father's house. He had the father's love and presence with him until Abraham passed. You see, we may not have the material things right now. Don't worry about it. There's coming a day when things are going to change. Amen. So the first thing that the elder son had that he didn't really appreciate and realize, hadn't really hit him, he always had the father's blessing. "Son, thou art ever with me." Now, as a teenager, that's not what you want to hear. "I don't want to be with you. I want to get out on my own." And until you leave the house and then have to pay electric bill, mortgage, or rent at least, and car note and insurance, then you realize how good it was in father's house. Okay, you could just walk in the house, open the fridge, and see what's in there. You never bought a single thing. But now when you move out and you have to fill that fridge, it's a different thing. You start to remember how it was in father's house. That's when suddenly things seem to change. You suddenly become wiser. So these five words that he was telling the son are huge. He was saying, "Listen, you don't realize it, son, but you have me." Now, as a teenager, that's not what you want to hear. Like, "I want to get away from you. That's not what I want to be. I want to be my own person." But in this case, the blessing means that you have the Father's presence. I didn't put it in here, but I'll prove it to you. Jacob ran away, and that night he found himself all alone in the middle of nowhere. Didn't even have a place to sleep. He got a stone, as a pillow. But when he started to sleep, he caught a vision of the angels ascending and descending. And at the top of the ladder, he saw the Son of God. That's who it was. And God made a covenant with him. Because you know what? He had the Father's blessing. And that covenant was renewed when he was coming back. He had so much stuff coming back that if you read it, and I don't have time to, he divided his stuff into how many parts? You don't remember this story? Well, it was three. And he sent them to who? It didn't matter that he was giving his brother the birthright because he still had the blessing. Do you get that? It didn't matter that if you read the story, he divided his groups into his two wives and then there was a third part. And he sent two of them ahead. And his brother was coming with 400 men to take vengeance. But when you have the blessing, God can turn any negative situation around. It doesn't matter about so much, you know, the wealth. Yes, the Bible does say money answereth all things. Secular things, but there's some things money can't answer. It can't, as the song says, it can't buy you love. And it can't buy you eternal life. And in many cases, it can't buy you healing. But the blessing of the Father, that's what's important. So here's the revelation in Luke 15:31. And it's so profound, the elder son in this story didn't get it. Thou art ever with me. And all that I have is thine. But that's still not right because you gave him half. Well, actually, there was some more. There was some more stuff here. So now let's look at what he says. So what is ours that the Father presently has? Remember now, he says, thou art ever with me and all that I have is thine. All that. So he was telling him, everything that's here now belongs to you. Belongs to you. But there's more to this story because at this point, I think Jesus was trying to give a spiritual aspect. Well, the whole story is about, of course, the prodigal son. And we forget about the elder son. But there's a part of this story that I'm focusing on is the elder son. So what he was telling him that everything that I have now is thine. Yes, we welcomed your brother back because he is still a son. He did put the ring on his finger. He learned his lesson. He realized that going out there without the Father's blessing would only bring disaster. That money was gone real quick. Those of you who are a little bit older, has there been times when you wish you could have asked your mom or dad who have passed, you know, their advice? There's been times when my father hasn't been gone that long, 8 years, but there's been times when I would have said, Dad, what do you think of this? What would you do? But if you have the Father's blessing, you can ask your Heavenly Father right now what to do. Hallelujah. So let me tell you what the Father presently has. What does the Father presently have? Tell me. The cattle on a thousand hills. But there's more. There's something that Satan never ever was able to touch. The heavenly kingdom. The heavenly kingdom. That's what the elder son was going to inherit. That's what we are going to inherit. But it seems as if that's still only one portion, right? Look at this. The church is called what? Hebrews 12:23. To the general assembly and church of what? The firstborn. Which means what? If we're the church of the firstborn, what does that mean we should be inheriting? A double portion. Please don't ruin my book yet. Right? If we're the church of the firstborn, we should be getting a double portion. So we have the Father's presence. The elder son always had the Father's presence. He never left home. He had the Father's presence. To the general assembly in Hebrews 12:23, and church of the firstborn. I don't think it was any accident that it was written that way. Because Paul in Romans speaks about the seed. And he is saying, this didn't apply to everyone, but we are now Abraham's seed. And so we inherit the blessings of Abraham. And what this scripture is telling us, that the church is the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. But I highlighted the words there, church of the firstborn, which is telling us something. We have the Father's presence, but we're going to have a lot more. Amen. Because we're the church of the firstborn. Okay? But that only, heaven just seems like just one portion. But let's keep reading. The scripture says, if we are joint heirs, then where and when is our inheritance? Okay? If we are joint heirs, where and when is our inheritance? So when do we get the other portion? Well, let me jump to the end of the book here. Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Now, the scripture says that we are heirs and joint heirs. That means not only do we get the heavenly kingdom, because that never left the Father's grasp, did it? He has always had heaven. But guess when we get our second portion? There's coming a day in Revelation 12 when it says the angels will put one foot on the sandal and said, let there be no more delay. And in Revelation 11, it says the kingdoms of this world belong to who? The kingdoms of our Lord. And so we are heirs and joint heirs. So not only do we inherit the heavenly kingdom, but we also, in the end, also get the earthly kingdom. So we end up with the double portion. Isn't that awesome? The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. You see, we not only get the blessing, but in the end, because we are the church of the firstborn, we also inherit the birthright. Amen. That's what it says in, let me read this scripture here, Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, and this is the part we don't like, the older son had to stay and labor. The younger son had gone away and he had parted. The older son had to be the one going out into the field, going and feeding the sheep, milking the cows. Yeah, there was some labor involved. There was sometimes, I'm sure, when he felt, this is really not fair. My brother got all his money and he's having a great old time. And here am I on my lonesome, stuck in this field. But there came a day when the father came out and said, those four words, son, thou art ever with me. If you have the father's blessing, you are in the end going to also inherit the birthright. It doesn't matter what Satan does. It doesn't matter what lies he tells you that, you know, you are forlorn or there everything is not fair or look at all these other people. I am telling you, if you have God's presence, the Father is telling you tonight, I am ever with you. And everything that I have is yours. You may not see it right now. You may not be able to touch it yet. But there's coming a day when the angel says the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. You know what that means when that happens? I just inherited. Amen. I just got my will read. Amen. My wife was, her father was quite a very good businessman. And when he died, he had a business and he had, of course, six children, right? So he divided it just like I said, and she got some inheritance. And I got some because I'm her husband. Amen. You see, if you have a relationship, you can inherit. If you are related to the Father by adoption, you become a joint heir. And even though you may have been laboring in the field, it says, listen, if so be that we suffer with him. Yes, there is some labor. There is some suffering. There's some times when you feel like giving up. There's some times when you look around and say, this is not fair. But just hold on. There's coming a day when the Father will come out and say, listen, don't worry. You have me always. And that is the most important thing. You see what happened to your brother? He didn't have me. He left father's house, and you see what happened to him. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And then he said the second thing. Everything that I have is yours. He's already gotten his inheritance. He's gotten all he was going to get. Yes, he's still a son, but he has no more stuff he's going to get other than my love. But you, everything that I have. What I'm telling you tonight is, number one, you always have the Father with you. Secondly, the Father has said everything that he has belongs to you. Amen. I think that deserves an amen. 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 Everything that he has belongs to you. Sister Audrey.
In relation to the rapture, where do the people that fall in, that come through tribulation, fall into this whole thing?
Well,
as far as the birthright and the blessing.
They are not in the bride of Christ. That's where they fall. At a wedding, it's the bride and the groom that are the stars, right? There are guests at the feast, but they're not in the bride. Only the church is the bride of Christ. Yes, they get to come to the wedding party, but I'd rather be in the bride. Amen. They're really like the son that took his inheritance, right? They get to be there, and they are sons, but they've wasted a lot of their inheritance. If they had only listened, they could have been in the bride. And so we see in that symbol the same thing that Abraham did. Before he died, he sent them away, all of his other sons. And only Isaac got to stay with him and really inherit the blessing. We see this continued in Isaac and Jacob, where Jacob didn't deserve it. But because of the lamb slain, so to speak, and the covering put on his arms, he got the blessing. He was trying to cheat to get the birthright, and yet he left with nothing material. But when he came back, he had so much stuff. If you read the story, he divided his stuff into three, and he sent two of them to Esau. In other words, you could look at that as repenting, because he had cheated him out of the double portion. But still, he got the blessing from the father. And as I read before, when Isaac said he had given it, it can't be taken back. The gifts of God are without repentance. You can't take them back. And what we have been given by God, God is not going to take away from us. Now, we may not make the best use of it. The younger son demanded his inheritance, and he didn't make the best use of it. The father could have said, no, you don't know what you're doing. I'm not going to give it to you. But he let him take it. He let him take it, and he made a mess of it because he did not have the father's presence. There's so many lessons in this story. Number one, stay in father's house. Stay in father's house, because when you go out there, you're going to have to start buying stuff for yourself. When you stay in father's house, he will prepare a table before you, even in the presence of your enemies. He will light your way. He will provide for you. Amen. And most of all, you have his presence and his guidance. Let me finish reading this story. And if the children then, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Amen. And Paul goes on to say, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. Do you know that you can't outdo God? You think God is not going to reward you? The Bible says, for we must all appear at the Bema seat. That's not a judgmental seat. That's a reward ceremony. That's a reward ceremony. Anyone been to a high school award ceremony? And you go up there and you get to march and, you know, they give you. I remember the first time that happened, I was about 8 years old at my little primary school. And I got an award for book reading. And I was so happy. They gave me a whole book. And it was so exciting to get a whole book. Well, this ceremony that's coming up, you don't want to miss it. It's going to be the award ceremony of all time. When we go before the Bema seat, the Bible says to receive for what we have done. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. God has got so much things that we haven't even begun to understand. It doesn't matter what you've been going through right now. It doesn't matter that it seems that everybody else is seemingly doing better. You've been praying, you've been fasting, you've been laboring, and it hasn't happened. The younger son seems to come in and they get blessed and everything seems to work out for them. But remember what the Father said, you have me. If you have me, you may not see the blessing right now, but listen, in due time, you're going to inherit. The Bible says in due season, if you don't fail, amen, you are going to reap, amen. What we have to do is to remember that we have to be like a good soldier and endure to the end, because the inheritance is coming. One day that angel is going to say something, and that's the sign that our inheritance is right there. He's going to say the kingdoms of this world. See, we already get the heavenly kingdom. If you're in the bride of Christ, you're the only ones going up to heaven. Do you understand that? The other son is not going to go up to there. They're going to just go into the millennial kingdom, but they're not going to the bridal, to the ketubah, into the consummation, so to speak, right? They're not going to do that. But you see, not only do we get the heavenly kingdom, but we also get to rule and reign on earth. We get the double portion because we are of the church of the firstborn. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. There's coming a day, and who knows how soon it is. It can't be too much further. Revelation 12:2. Here's how we inherit. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We get to walk in the New Jerusalem. And you need to go, if you want to refresh your mind on how beautiful and how exquisite that is, just go to the book of Revelation. Revelation 21:4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears. If you've been crying this week, if you've been weeping this week, if you've been downtrodden this week, you have an inheritance. Paul says, there's now laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Amen. There's laid up somewhere in store a crown of righteousness. We get to reign and rule because we get the birthright and the blessing. Whichever way you want to say it, we get both because we have the Father's presence. Hallelujah. If you could stand with me, I'm going to finish a little early tonight. Amen. But this is my early Father's Day Bible study to let you know that if you will endure to the end, you get the birthright and you get the blessing. Hallelujah. And if that don't make you smile, because if you believe what I'm saying, that you have the Father's presence and that everything that he has belongs to you. That's what he told in the parable. Son, don't worry about your brother. He was lost, but now is found. But listen, thou art ever with me, and everything that I have is yours. Think about that. That's the word for the night. Everything that I have is yours. Blessing, comfort, grace, redemption, forgiveness, healing. All those things belong to us. If we have faith and if we will believe and trust God and if we will endure hardship, the Bible says, as a good soldier. Because in this life, we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have tribulation. The son that stayed had to work very hard. Maybe he had to do double work because he was making up for the son that left. And it seemed as if he never had a good time. But he didn't realize that there was coming a day when everything was going to be his. Amen. We need to just remember that God has made some great and exceeding promises. And if we will just hold on to the end, whatever you're going through this week, remember, the blessing and the birthright is ours because Hebrews says that we are the church of the firstborn. And the firstborn gets the double portion. Hallelujah. That's what Elisha wanted. He wanted to know that he was going to be the heir of Elijah. So he said, listen, I want when I see you go that I get a double portion. And it seemed as if that promise failed because he died and he still had one more miracle that was less than double. But you know the story of how they put the man who was dead upon the bones. and then was fulfilled totally, the double portion. He said, if I can see you, I want to get the double portion. And the first thing he did, he took the mantle and he said, I want to see if this thing works. Where is the God of Elijah? I'm telling you that if you have stayed in the house, the Father is telling you, listen, thou art ever with me. And all that I have, every promise in the book is mine. And the devil will try and lie and say, no. You should have gone out with the younger son. But I'm telling you, the devil is a liar. And we are going to inherit because we are the church, Hebrews says, of the firstborn. That was no accident. So we get the double portion. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to close our Bible study tonight. I hope you've been encouraged. And to think about the fact that when you look through all of the patriarchs, you see this theme of the birthright and the blessing. Some who didn't deserve it, but got it through the lamb slain. Jacob got it through the lamb slain. Joseph, because of his suffering, his sons got the birthright. But Judah got the blessing because he was the next in line and because of the fact that the inheritance should come down that way, and Reuben had messed up, and the other two brothers had messed up. But I tell you this, the Bible says if we will endure to the end, and again, I can't say too many times, stay in the house. Stay in the house. Stay in the house. There's coming a day when we get it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you tonight. Oh God, that you have promised us both the birthright and the blessing. Oh God, we thank you, Lord. We may not have had earthly...